Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Talk from the Terrace podcast on both Celtic Fanzine TV and on audio on the Celtic Soul podcast. Please hit that subscribe and follow button so you'll never miss an episode. In this episode, I'll be joined by Real Betis fan Alan McLean, ahead of Celtic's clash with Real Betis, the La Liga side who are enjoying the season so far. Alan, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's been a good weekend for both of us. We had a great win against Dundee United, and Betis have just beaten Catalonian Giants in Camp Nou, Barcelona. So you're coming to Glasgow on a high.
Well, certainly am, and it was a great victory over Barcelona, and we really are having a super season at the moment. Right from the start of the season, we've been producing a solid side under Manuel Pellegrini and just getting better and better as we go along, which is really very unusual for Real Betis. We're usually struggling down the bottom somewhere, but now we're doing really, really well and we're enjoying every minute of it. And very much looking forward to the Celtic match, not least because the historical ties that Betis have with Celtic back in the dim and distant past.
Yeah, and I'm going to stay in Seville for now because obviously we had a great party over there in 2003. We didn't win anything, but we won the hearts and minds of the local people. And we certainly gave a boost to the economy. I attended I didn't attend the game, but I went for the away game. We thought we were getting tickets. We weren't getting tickets, but I was welcomed in by everybody I met, both Seville and Betis fans, and I ended up watching the game in a Betis bar with both sets of fans. There were Seville fans there as well. So, but you know, in recent times, you've played second fiddle to Seville, and the 1 point ahead of you now in the league. So, Real Madrid are 9 points ahead of you. So, what would it be like now, like coming up to, you know, if you can stay with them when you have your derby games, it's going to be brilliant.
Well, it will be absolutely fantastic because the rivalry between Sevilla and Betis, you know, goes back so many years. And it's really very much like the other major cities in European football, really, where both sets of fans, you know, when the El Derby comes along in Sevilla, it's absolutely massive, and everyone throws themselves into the excitement of the thing. Now, back in 2019, just before one of the derbies, there were 10,000 Betis fans turned up at the Betis training ground just to watch the players training before the match with Sevilla. So that gives you some idea of how important this match really is. And if we can end up ahead of Sevilla, that would be absolutely super.
Yeah, and there is a good man seems to be behind you now, Pellegrini. He, you know, a Premier League winner. He's managed in, you know, Villarreal. I think he was the manager when we played them in 2004 when he knocked us out of the UEFA Cup. And he seems to be settling in, putting his feet under the table and ruffling a lot of feathers in the top half of La Liga.
He certainly is. And he's done it in a relatively short period of time. We went through a phase of managers after Pepe Mel, and they were not really very good, I have to say. And the whole team became a bit destabilized. Now, when Manuel Pellegrini came in, it's taken him a while, but a relatively short time to put a solid, balanced squad together, not just a team that goes out and plays every Saturday. He has the habit of setting up a team, maybe like he did with Manchester City when he was there, that he would look at the opposition, decide what the best team was for him, and he'd put them out. So all of the squads, which numbers about 22, I think, they all get game time. And that keeps the squad happy, keeps the players happy, also gives them a sense of togetherness. And the fans, we the fans, are. It took a little while to get used to this way of playing different team out every week, but it's certainly starting to reap some rewards. And we're absolutely loving it because there is now a sort of defined style to the team, which we haven't had for quite a while.
Yeah, we're having a love-in with our new manager, Ange Postecoglou. We're loving that attacking style. We're starting to get it right at the back. But unlike Pellegrini, he's relying on a small pool of players. You know, he has his favourite 11, and when the player gets injured, someone else gets a chance. But we do think that he may rotate on Thursday night, because it's not the major game it may have been had we beat Leverkusen. And, you know, qualified for the Europa League next stage. We now go into the Europa Conference League. So both European football after Christmas. Not every season Betis and Celtic fans can say that.
No. That's very true. We shall see on the night. I mean, we have no idea what team Pellegrini is going to put out on Thursday night, but we know it will be a good, solid, balanced team. And he does bring on substitutes at the right time. There's a good squad where he knows the strengths of all of his players, and if he sees that a bit of a deficiency in one particular area, he'll soon take someone off and put someone else back on. And we do have our player that has the wonderful Joaquin, who is now aged 40 years. And I have to tell you that under Pellegrini, he seems to have found new life, because he's played. Now, he obviously doesn't play that often because of his age. He keeps himself really fit, but he's still a really good player. And when he comes on, he galvanizes the team, and he's an excellent crosser of the ball. And when he comes on, the whole team gets lifted.
Yeah, and it's great to have someone to come off the bench like that. I tend to look at the bench when we play as well, and to see if there is someone there. And unfortunately, this season, there hasn't been. But I think now there is one or two, and I think in January we will be a stronger team and have a stronger bench, because it's kind of happened a bit quicker than we thought. We didn't think that, you know, Ange would settle in so well and the team would be playing the way they're playing, because we thought maybe three transfer windows before he would get it right. And we were prepared to give him time after the disaster we had last season. But when I think of Betis, I think back to our first meeting this season, and, you know, did we catch a cold, or were we just good? Because we were surprised, and I'm sure the Betis fans were surprised that, you know, a team from a league which wouldn't be as strong as La Liga could come and put on such a show. Because for both sets of fans, it was a great game, and it was also, I suppose, for the neutrals. You know, if you were, like, sometimes I sit down to watch games, I don't have an interest in the team, and I turn off after half an hour. This certainly wasn't a game that people were going to turn off who tuned in.
No, from the very first minute, it was an absolutely super game. And I have to say, I was quite surprised watching it at just how well Celtic started. They, for the first 20 minutes, for the first half, they were looking magnificent. And they just seemed to have the right balance. They were pressing. They were doing everything right. They went two goals up. I was thinking to myself, okay, if we can get a draw out of this so so be it. But as I said earlier on, we do have strength and depth, and Pellegrini is more than happy to switch formations when he sees things aren't going quite right. And I think that was the start of it. He switched the formation, he started pressing more, and then the rewards came from there. I don't think Celtic particularly started to play badly. I think it was the opposite. Betty started playing much better and getting into a groove after that.
Yeah, and I think at the time as well, we probably were, you know, we were bedding in some players as well, and there was probably some players who are now squad players did play in that game. But it was a great night for Betis, and I think we got some confidence out of it. We also learned that we needed to tighten up at the back. But we have done in recent weeks, thank God. It's just a pity that, you know, there wasn't fans, you know, Celtic fans in there to witness that performance. And maybe we could have, you know, the 12th man could have just maybe got us a draw that night, but who knows? But COVID has hit the Betis fans who were planning to travel. Like us travelling from Ireland to Glasgow, we have to get antigen tests or PCR tests, depending on how long we're staying, to go in and also to come back into Ireland. And I'm sure it's the same for the Spanish fans. But you're based in Scotland, and there is fans based in London and Edinburgh. So they will be able to get to the game. There will be Betis fans there, because it adds to the game when there's away fans.
Yes, I mean, that is absolutely true. And it was a great shame, because my wife and I were actually in Spain when we were buying the tickets. So we knew what was happening to the other Betty fans in Spain who were buying them. We'd met them a couple of weeks ago at the Elche match in Spain. And everyone was so excited about coming. And it was literally a day's notice, with new regulations on the 30th of November, and all of a sudden these fans couldn't come, and they were absolutely devastated. They really were. Now, we do have Peñas, Betis supporters clubs in London, in Edinburgh, in the northeast of England, where my Peña is based. And also over in County Donegal, where else? And they'll be coming over too.
That's news to me.
They might even be swimming over, let me tell you. But one way or another, they'll get there. And also, what you'll find is that in, you know, the various parts of the UK, you have Spanish students studying. You'll have Spanish people teaching in universities. So they will be coming up over as well. And it's just a shame, because we've got Peñas. And I mean, I know the president of the Betty Peña in Miami, and he was thinking of coming over. He can't come over either. So it is a great shame, but we do need fans, and our fans are very vociferous. We really are. And we do give the team, it's like Celtic as well. They give the team support, and I can tell you that if you don't know already, that the chant that goes out from the Betty fans when we're watching, and particularly when things are going bad, is to say, "Mucho Betty, manqui pierda." And what that means is that basically, we will support you, Betty, even if you lose. And that's a great part of the passion of being a Betty fan. We don't care what the result is. We are full of optimism before every match, whatever the odds are. And we will support the team right through whatever happens.
And, like, at the moment, you will be supporting them because they're so impressive. But how does Alan McLean, who lives in the northeast,
who lives in Scotland,
you live in Scotland, Glasgow, but you're part of the northeast, Penna. And for those listening, the Penna is a supporters club. I was in one when I went to Seville, and I was treated there very well, I have to say.
They really are.
Free tapas, free beer, and I brought
over
a jersey and a signed Shamrock Rovers ball on behalf of the support that the Betis fans had given to the Debenhams workers. Ferguson down, he doesn't let you away with much. He knew I was travelling over, and I had an extra I had an extra bag to bring, and I He still hasn't paid me for Ryanair charging me for the bag. But anyway, that's another argument. Now, Fergus was on the show, and he gave us an in-depth into the Patrick O'Connell story and the Irish connection with Betis. And that podcast is available for people to listen. I'll put up the episode link when we put this up. But how did you become a Betis fan?
Well, it's actually a northeast of England connection because we've been supporters of Blyth Spartans Football Club in the northeast of England, probably the most famous non-league football club in the world for our FA exploits. And I've been a fan of Blyth Spartans for a considerable time. I met Fergus when he and a friend came over to Dublin, from Dublin, to watch Newcastle United, turned up at Newcastle, found out the match was the day after they thought it was, so they were looking for a ground to go to. So they ended up coming to Blyth Spartans. So, very Irish, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Ended up watching Blyth Spartans, so met him there. We're also joined there by another friend of ours, the third member of the Patrick O'Connell Foundation team, and that was Simon Needham. Now, Simon lives in Blyth, and he has enjoyed going to watch Spanish football for some years, so he was really into the La Liga thing as well. We all met up. We realized, or we found out, that Real Betis are always opening their arms in friendship to any other team that plays in green and white, Verde Blancos. So Blyth Spartans play in green and white. So we got in touch with Betty and said, here we are, we want to join the family that is Betis. And 2 years later, we managed to get all the forms done to become a supporters club, the Peña Bética Blyth Betis. And we are now part of the Federation of Supporters Clubs of Real Betis.
Yeah, because I'm always amazed, because people say to me, when I meet people who don't know the Irish connection with Celtic, they always go, oh, but you go to watch a team in Scotland, but you're Irish. And I say, yeah, but they're an Irish team. And they say, well, how does an Irish team play in Scotland? And, you know, it's kind of hard. I always say they're an Irish team founded by Irish people, but they're a Scottish institution, and that kind of covers me with both, and I don't offend anyone because some people do get offended. But so for years it was just as simple as that, and then you started to travel to see them. And
we lived near Blyth, so we supported them. I ended up on the board of Blyth Spartans as well, which sounds very glorious, but it isn't really. But it's all volunteer work, and as you know, that's where you get the most fun. That's where you get the real fans, and in non-league football, that's where you get real football as well, because when one of our players is knocked down, they just get back up again and know that some stage later they can get a bit of retaliation in. They don't need to roll around in the ground before they do that. So it's great football. And, you know, going back to the Patrick O'Connell connection, that's where that happened at Blyth Spartans, where we had a visit from Mike O'Connell, Patrick's grandson, who gave us a talk about Patrick. And the three of us, Fergus, Simon and I, decided to do something to honour Patrick O'Connell. And that's when even more Celtic connections came in via Belfast Celtic Football Club Museum in Belfast. But also the fact that we wanted to do things in Dublin and Belfast to honour Patrick. And thankfully, and I'd just love to mention this, that Glasgow Celtic Football Club were right behind us. And the very first thing that we did for the foundation was to arrange for a memorial plaque to be put up at Patrick O'Connell's old house near Croke Park. And Celtic thankfully said, yeah, we'll fully cooperate with that. And they managed to arrange to send over to Dublin Bertie Auld, may he rest in peace, and John Clark. It was such a privilege to have them to get our foundation started off. And that, and they understood the link between Belfast Celtic, Real Betis, and so forth, and Glasgow Celtic as well. So that was a great thing to have. And John and Bertie, personally, they then supported us after that with fundraising and various other things as well. So it was super.
Yeah, John is a hero of Lisbon, and Bertie is probably the biggest character from Lisbon. He will be sadly missed. I just recorded a podcast, The Grand Old History, with David Potter, who's a Celtic historian.
And yes.
What came out of that was, you know, how much Bertie was loved by everyone he met. And I'm sure when you met him, you went, wow, this guy is just different class.
Well, yes, different class are the words to use. And he came to, when we launched our foundation, he and John came over to Belfast, to the Belfast Celtic Museum, where that happened. They were in Dublin, as I mentioned, and also at Hampden when we were doing a part of a documentary that was produced on the Patrick O'Connell story. But Bertie was, as they say in Ireland, some crack. He really was. Yeah. And we just loved him. And we are so sad of about his passing, but at the same time, we have the most wonderful memories of him. We really do, because he just lit up a room.
That's just lovely to hear. Because yeah, he was a special person, and I think Celtic fans and non-Celtic fans, you know, who met him, will forever remember him, because not only is he a hero on the pitch, but he was a hero off the pitch to so many. He had so much time for all the fans. He had so much time for children, you know, and he would post for pictures, autographs. And as I said to David Potter when we done the podcast, I said, he loved being Bertie Auld.
Oh, he did. He did. And when we were at Hampden, doing this filming, we took a break from the filming, the documentary, and a couple of people wandered into the room that we were in, because we were in the museum area of Hampden Park, and they came up and they said, oh, Bertie, and they were from Birmingham, and they'd remembered that Bertie had played for Birmingham, and asked them, well, how did you like your life in Birmingham? Well, we laughed for 15 minutes at the stories he used to tell about one on at Birmingham City. And it was just so much fun. So sadly missed, but a privilege to know him.
And a League Cup winner with Birmingham, and he got to the first cup final with Birmingham. So there's not
indeed.
So he gave Birmingham fans plenty of joy as well. Listen, it's been a pleasure. We are in Morphy's on Thursday for Celtic AM from 5 to 7. And we hope some Betis fans can pop in, because we would love to continue this conversation in Morphy's. So if you're around Morphy's, please pop in. Folks, More Than 90 Minutes, issue 118, is still available. I think there's about 10 copies left. So if you visit CelticFanzine.com, you can pick up a copy, and there will be still a few copies in the shops. Alan, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you. I hope you have a great season. I hope Betis win La Liga, but I hope they don't win on Thursday night. I hope you have an off night, and Celtic have a good night.
Yeah, well, good to meet you too. And we will pop into Murphy's, because look, we won't be far away from there.
And we need to get you
a
point for coming onto the podcast. So there you go. There's an offer of a free point.
Oh, there's, well, to a Scotsman, what else could you offer?
Alan, thank you so much.
Okay then, Andrew.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.